Welcome everyone. Welcome to our 2015 annual electors meeting. I declare the annual electors meeting open at 7:40 p.m. and in doing so respectfully acknowledge the Gadiyara people whose land we're on this evening, respectfully acknowledging the contribution of Gadiyara elders past, present and future in working together for the betterment of the future city of Port Hedland. Now, recording of attendance and apologies. Recording of attendance is everyone, so everyone, electors and non-electors, so that is part of the, is there an attendance sheet floating around or? Right, but what about, you've got them as well? Great. Hate no one to be left out. So that is the attendance. Are there any apologies? I will table Councillor Troy Melville. Are there any other apologies? Okay, that's wonderful. Right. Okay, item 4, response to previous questions taken on notice. Item 4.1, questions from the annual general meeting of electors held on Wednesday the 19th of November 2014. There are nil. Item 4.1, questions from the special electors meeting held on Wednesday the 16th of September. There are nil. Item 5, confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. 5.1, confirmation of the minutes of the annual general meeting of electors held on Wednesday the 19th of November 2014. Do I have any points of clarification in regards to those minutes? Do I have a mover for those minutes? Councillor Riff?
Yes.
A seconder in Councillor Blanco? Do I have any against those minutes? Great, so those minutes are passed. Item 5.1, confirmation of minutes of the special electors meeting held on Wednesday the 16th of September 2015. Do I have any points of clarification on those minutes? I have a mover in Councillor Hooper. I have a seconder in Councillor Arif. Do I have any against? Okay, those minutes are also passed. Yes. So anyone in this section, you can ask questions and do things, but you can't vote. But the voting, so for voting, I'm going to be looking in this area. Okay. Item 6, annual report. 6.1, Mayor's report. I'm going to table it as read. I put my Mayor report in there, and it does reflect on our year, the year of 14-15. And the achievements of 14-15. And again, for that period of time, I'd like to personally thank my Deputy Mayor of that time period, 14-15, Gloria Jacob, and Councillors George DeCash, Councillor Gillingham, Councillor Arif now, but is listed as Hunt, Councillor Hooper, Councillor Butson, Councillor Melville, and Councillor Taylor, Penny Taylor, who was with us during that time of 14-15. So without reading that any further, do I have a mover and seconder to receive my Mayor report? Councillor Hooper, seconder Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against? The report is carried. 6.2, Chief Executive Officer's report with a recommendation there. CEO, do you want to talk to your report?
I'm happy to read my report, Madam Mayor, right. If the electors would like to hear me read a page of great information.
Would everyone like to hear that page? Yep. Yep, please do.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. It starts off, it's been a very busy year for the town of Port Hedland as we move our focus from significant capital investment to reviewing how we do things and improving our services to the community. I'm pleased to report the town of Port Hedland continues to achieve a strong financial position, finishing 2014-15 with a carry forward surplus position of $5,066,000 and receiving an unqualified opinion on our audit. All financial ratios of the town for 2014-15 are better than the minimum targets set by the Department of Local Government and Communities. With our major projects delivered, we continue to focus on consolidating our projects, improving service provision and looking at the next opportunity for our community. Some highlights of 2014-15, confirming the western side of the Spoil Bank as Council's preferred location for the waterfront marina development, in brackets subject to a risk assessment and business case development. This was a culmination of significant studies and numerous reference group meetings held in early 2015. Two, continuing to review the Port Hedland International Airport governance framework, including seeking expressions of interest and binding bids to enter into a long-term lease arrangement. 3, revising our strategic community plan and corporate business plan to align with our key deliverables. 4, reviewing local laws and policies with adoption of new parking local laws and a drafting of a cemetery's local law. Looking at what's next for Port Hedland and how we can diversify our economy. Hosting business forums about how to do business with the town and how we as an organisation might make our procurement process more accessible for local businesses. Reviewing our internal audit, our risk management and records management with identified programs of improvement actions. Submitting a comprehensive response to the Pilbara Development Commission's investment blueprint and the Joint Committee on Northern Australia. Rolling out our corporate training strategy with courses delivered across the areas of cultural awareness, senior first aid, financial management and reporting, playground inspections, landfill management, Local Government Act, snake handling and livestock management and control. Continuing to engage with our community through 10 community conversation forums, distributing 151 media releases, sharing 904 posts on social media and issuing 108 community notices. Participating in various regional and state forums such as the Pilbara Regional Council, the West Australian Regional Capitals Alliance, Local Government Management Association or Local Government Managers Australia, and the Kimberley, Pilbara and Northern Territory Forum. Madam Mayor, looking forward to the next financial year, we'll be hosting the 4th Annual Northwest Festival, and this was written prior to the current deliberations, and this year combining with our inaugural Northwest Economic Summit, looking at what's next for our region. We'll continue to advocate for key projects such as Bidari Strategic Industrial Estate and Lumsden Point and work on the new South Hedland Integrated Facilities Project. We'll also continue to engage the community on the long-term lease of the Port Hedland International Airport and discuss how we invest lease funds for future generations. I look forward to continuing to work with our community, Madam Mayor, partners and stakeholders as we all strive to create a vibrant regional city. Thank you.
Great. Do I have any points of clarification from that report? Do I have a mover in Councillor Riff, a seconder? Ooh. Might go with Nina Pangas, thank you, as a seconder. Do I have any against? And the report is passed. Okay, 6.3, annual report. The annual report is there, and it is the recommendation to receive that report. Do I have any points of clarification on this annual report?
You just got one?
Yes.
On a bit of information on our standing. Just to our standing or what?
I might have to defer to our governance team. Indicates.
The question is, you've got one not finalised under the Freedom of Information, hasn't been finalised yet.
So that would have been at the close of financial year, would
that's
have
right,
been
yeah.
finalised, but my understanding is that would have been finalised.
Finalised by now, isn't it?
But I can clarify that for you, but that would certainly be my understanding.
So this no outstanding?
No, there,
yes,
as
well,
of
no
the
one
30th
had.
Of June 2015, there was the outstanding one. However, there is a required time frame of when FOIs have to be completed, so that would have been completed, I think it's within 60.
So that one has been completed, but there may be others that have come in since.
Any further questions on the annual report? Yes, Councillor Gillingham.
Just a comment I made recently, Madam Chair, that on the pages it was giving the information of the organisations and not-for-profit organisations that. Organisations like the Film and Music Festival, which turns 40 next year, was not even noted in one of the high-profile organisations in town, which is not-for-profit. We don't have a lot of money to go forward, and yet Northwest Festival did get part of the place. I just thought that was felt a little bit odd, and I just hope that maybe next summer a report comes up that the long-standing organisations will possibly be mentioned first.
I think.
Even it was presented that Northwest Festival was iconic, I do feel as if, yes, it's iconic only because it was the first of its kind at this point in time.
I think that was duly noted. I think staff have got that in hand. And as patron of that event and given the significance of next year, I'm sure it'll get a very good mention. Okay, so any further questions on this 14-15 report? I have a mover in Councillor Hooper, a seconder in, nearly got you Mr Higgins, you did scratch your ear, in Councillor Riff. Do I have any against? The report is carried by the majority. Okay, item 6, general business. Please, and it's open to non-electors as well, but I will start with electors. Any general business electors? Yes.
What are we doing with the... we've spoken about it a few times, but I don't see anything happening. A dedicated truck stop for the prime movers to break up. And you can see them, they're using that one out the front there, you know, a fair bit now, they're parking trailers, and that's clearly unsafe for them to get them out and then, you know, off that road. We need to, you know, seriously look at doing something about that.
CEO, can you provide us an update, or perhaps the director as well?
I can provide an update, Madam Mayor, including some discussions that have been held even over the last few days. So the town has been communicating with Main Roads WA. We believe it's actually Main Roads' responsibility to provide that sort of facility in our community, and in most other communities, if they're not a privately owned facility, they are provided by Main Roads. So we have been working with Main Roads and looking at various sites, not so much just for the breakdown assembly area, but perhaps as a truck stop on the main highway. More recently, we've had discussions with LandCorp as well, given that we have a new, I guess, refuelling and amenity facility going on to Pinger Street. And we had discussed with LandCorp whether they might release some of that unsold land behind that facility, which could be used for that same purpose. And then more recently, we've had discussions with, again, with Main Roads, and today with the Department of State Development, indicating that it is a lacking amenity for truck drivers. And I do take on board that you've raised this issue before, and we don't seem to have got too far with it at this stage.
Any further? Yes, Mr. Atwood?
Boat ramp at Finnegan Island. At present time, we've got solar lights at the T-junctions from Newman, Port Edmund, Rogan Road, this sort of thing. Is there any chance of getting a solar put out there for the boats? Because we're having a hell of a time after dark out there. And you've got a problem there with the big tides, the Russian tides, really. It'd be great for the town to have a solar light there, just to brighten with something when you come up in the dark of it. The boat ramp there, because it's our boat ramp, isn't it?
Certainly is. So we'll put that there, and I know the director's nodding his head there, so let's take that.
Was you doing something about when the current sort of thing? Were you going to do some baffles there? Or
yep, so we've just gone out for tender. Director, are you able to say anything? It is to come to council, so I know we're limited in what we can say.
It's out to tender at the moment.
Still out to tender? Yep.
Yeah, we'll be looking at what treatment options we can put in place out of Finnegan.
And also, can you, when you go down, because when you're back, you'll hit the drop there, the hell of a way you drop sometimes, you hit your boat on, you can't get back up.
Yep.
Can we extend it out, drop it a bit further so it doesn't drop suddenly down?
Yeah, I mean, that'll be part of what comes back with the report from this office.
Yep. Okay. Any general business? Yes? And then I'll come back.
The area down at the cemetery breach, all the lights are working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. CEO, take that on note.
So Cemetery Beach, was it, Mrs. Atwood?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we've got some of those turned off.
But there's supposed to be turtle-friendly lights and white lights, and some of them have got both on, and some of them have got none on. So there is a historic wiring issue there.
So we'll take that on board and note that, Mrs. Atwood.
Maybe we could look at solar lights underneath the covers for the tabletops. We were there the other night, it was fairly dark.
Might be a good idea to put the solar panel on the top of the cover and the light underneath.
And the light should
be
out of the cooking areas. People don't
want to
go there during the day.
Yep, I'll just go to Jackie Rikers. She was going to ask something first, then I'll go to you,
Ines. About street lighting, is there an amount in the budget or anything that gets set aside for new street lighting, or how does it all work? Because I ride my bike a lot around South Edmund. Whatever, but there's some spots like main roads like North Circular and Hamilton Road that just have no street light. Like, obviously I have a front light, but unless you're looking down all the time, you know, with rocks, and the other morning I had kids throwing rocks at me and stuff, and it doesn't take much to come off. And
no.
I'm just wondering, is do you have money in the budget for those, that, or is it something that you have to request, or...
Yeah.
So through Madam Mayor, so street lighting is provided by Horizon Power, not by the town. We actually pay for the operating accounts, and if we wanted to upgrade lighting, that would be the town's responsibility. So at this stage, I don't know that we've done a lighting study, and I don't know whether we've got any advice.
So we will be undertaking a road safety audit in the first quarter of the new year, and no doubt that as part of that process, lighting will be picked up and identified where there are issues.
So are the general public going to be invited in that study, or will it like?
Well, it'll be an audit, and yeah, we can, through our engagement HQ process, invite feedback from the community where there are issues around town.
That'd be good. All right. Please make a note of that, CEO. That'd be good. Hans?
Yeah, you know when you're driving into Bosner, is it Yarry Road, that main one, as you go down? And all the rubbish on both sides, there's like camps there or something. But every few months, you see the Shire there with a tipper and a bobcat cleaning it all up. And then the camp will be over there. And then a few months later, the camp will be over there. And at the moment, there's like an outdoor kitchen with... fridges and all this kind of stuff, and 101, it's disgusting.
Can we get our environmental team and rangers to go and have a look?
No, we can, Madam Mayor. I know we're out there quite regularly for those clean-ups, which is not where we'd prefer to have to spend our resources, but we are out there doing those clean-ups.
If people are there camping and drinking, isn't that up to the police to move them on? Because isn't that like public drinking?
Yeah, sometimes isn't. That's perhaps why they're in a different location next time you drive past. So it is a difficult situation, and I think it's an age old problem, and we have had, and through the mayor, been working quite hard trying to find an appropriate camping facility or short stay facility for visitors to our town, and we haven't seemed to have the assistance that we believe we should be getting from Department of Housing and Department of Aboriginal Affairs. So it's an ongoing issue, something that the town spends quite a bit of resources on addressing and tidying up on a regular basis.
So it's quite dangerous. Probably maybe about 12 months ago when there was that huge fire on one side of Bosner, that was started by one of those small camps, and we lost a lot of houses through that.
And similarly, we've raised the issue of safety as being one of our key concerns, even for those people out there.
Oh, exactly.
And children. So we'll raise that, and certainly, though, with your concerns with that outdoor kitchen, we'll just make sure we go and have a look at that. Thank you. Any further general business?
What are we doing?
So, either CEO or Director, do you want to provide an update?
Director.
Director, you can, please.
Yes, work was undertaken to try and mitigate the issues that surround the plant.
So you might need to come, come and speak up.
Work was undertaken to try and mitigate plant issues. We had experts from across Australia provide advice to us. We had undertook water testing Monday morning at 4 a.m. And we received results back today. Unfortunately, we had about 5 filters that failed. Pool water was passing, but the filters are still failing on occasions. We have a second...
Can I just ask whether we have done that work that we said we were going to do to the filters?
It's only just been implemented.
Remember I provided basically it was a two-stage interim process. One was to provide some direct insertion of the chlorine into the bottom of the filters to bring it up through. During the process of installing those, we also checked the sand medium, which is the filter material, as it was thought that potentially could have organic material build up. Those filters, sand medium was actually quite clean. Through the backwash processes that were undertaken and adjusted through that testing, the water levels have dropped a little bit, and that provided a better aeration, really cleaned out the medium. So, there's no need to go to a stage two, which is to replace the sand, because the sand medium is actually working all right. The reason for second testing is because potentially through this process of backwashing, what may have happened is that obviously there is sometimes a film that sets up around bacteria, and when you do that first process of superchlorinating and backwashing, it removes the film, releases the bacteria. So hence we were doing a second water testing process, which will occur tomorrow afternoon, which will hopefully clear out that, I suppose, exposed bacteria material or whatever, and kill that, and hopefully that will clean up the filters. I say hopefully, because obviously until we get the test results back, that is an unknown.
What bugs are in there? So what are they coming back with? Positive for Giardia, Cryptosporidium?
No, you might have knocked me out on that one. What's the...
I think they are coliforms.
That's right. Thank you.
I was just going to say, because when me and two of my kids got Cryptosporidium from the water park last year, which was bloody lovely, when I was talking to the health department up here, she said that they check the your chlorine levels in that daily, but for things like Cryptosporidium and that, they've actually got to, they do it once a month and they send it away. And so is that getting tested more than once a month, or is it still just getting tested once a month for those kinds of things?
Oh, yes. So basically, in the process, we've also brought up the Department of Health.
Yep.
The head guy, Lou
Withers,
who's the lead person for all the testing. He came up and double checked the whole process that the YMCA undertake to do the water testing process, and was really, really happy with the procedures that they follow and that they are following it correctly. He also did actually provide some. And Tony Head, another expert in water management, what are some critiques to the process to allow for, as I mentioned before, dropping the water in the foot a little bit to provide some moderation. So those were all added to it. So all those processes are followed as per process and procedure as set out by the filter manufacturer.
Right. So public pools are normally tested once a month.
Yep.
So across Australia.
Park. So that's just the standard.
And the reason we do that is if you've got clean water, unless there's an environmental event or something that would actually make you consider retesting, you just normally do a cyclical testing of once a month.
It's just that things like Cryptosporidium, they're resistant to chlorine. They have to be super, super shocked. So, and they can still survive in the sand filters and that kind of stuff.
Yes, and again, our temperatures don't help up here because it keeps that water temperature at an ideal breeding environment.
But I read somewhere there's something that you can actually get now, and you can do on-site testing for Cryptosporidium, but it's probably costly.
Oh, if you got that information?
No, but I'll get it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, Mary?
I don't go swimming nowadays, but previously, during the winter season, it was a time when they did their maintenance.
So obviously the South Island Aquatic Centre is open all season now, but obviously there is a downtime maybe during the winter months where rectification work or upgrades or general maintenance work can occur without, I suppose, disrupting, normal patronage of people to get to use the facility. So there is always planned maintenance work over the winter period, normally, in the middle of winter when probably there's very minimal use.
Yeah, because if you were planning your
these filters are basically set to last
for
a big period of time.
But
I'd prefer to be telling you about a scheduled maintenance closure during the winter than obviously the current scenario. I suppose, please be sure, we are engaging with a wide variety of water experts and pool experts to try and provide a quick resolution to the closure. We're hoping that the reason for the second testing straight away was just in case there was a failure that it might, maybe it is from a loosening up of the film and releasing some of those microbes into the filter. But also, even if it did pass, we were going to do a second test just to provide some reassurance that we've got a double pass. So again, that'll be happening tomorrow afternoon, that second test, and we'll have results back early next week.
So the filter's big enough to do what they're supposed to do?
So the filters for the pool are more than adequate to, for our water bodies. It's just issues, I suppose, maybe with the design. It's, they've been ongoing, obviously, issues with the filters.
Sorry, well, we got through last week. We got through last summer without a problem.
Yeah, speak for yourself. You ain't the one on the toilet.
In terms of the South Island Aquatic Centre, I think we had one closure in terms of cryptosporidium, and that was a precautionary measure. So what I'm saying is, in terms of the filters operated effectively all last summer. We never had an issue. This year, we're not getting the results that we want, that we need, out of the filters. So that's why we've done those rectification works, and hopefully the next round of samples, you know, we keep saying hopefully because we're as distraught as everyone else that the facility is not open to the public and operating in a hygienic manner, but we're not going to open the facility if there's any risk to the public.
Well, I'm not in a hurry for you to open it anyway, because you realise you can kill someone. If someone with an immune deficiency goes to that pool, because that's the only thing to fight cryptosporidium, there's no drugs around that you can take to fight it, it's up to your immunity. So if there's a kid recovering from chemo or something and go picks it up, you're going to kill him.
We will not open the pool until we have absolute clear water samples sufficient for the public health department or the Department of Health to give us comfort that we can open the pool.
Yes, Councillor Gillingham, then Mr Atwood.
How does that go for the water park?
CEO?
So the water park is also regularly sampled, and the YMCA through a contract management also do the water quality management of the water park. So we do test the water park as well. So we, through you, Madam Mayor, we are looking at some interim fixes for that, because you can now buy some of that rubberized, buy that in a pack form. So we are looking at putting some interim repair works in there. Again, that would be a maintenance shutdown for probably winter 2016, where I think we have an indicative project put together to replace and repair or replace.
Miss Atwood?
Rubbish bins.
Mm-hmm.
I was working under the bottom of my car yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the rubbish truck come past and I heard this hell of a thump. I said, I hope he hasn't broken my wheels on my rubbish bin once more.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out there and he's broken my lid.
Mm.
Who do I make the complaint to? You, the council or the subcontractor or what?
No, it's so, all done so by
all,
us.
All done by us, Mr Atwood. If there's an issue with how staff are dealing with that, let us know. If you can give us your address later, we can also make sure that it's repaired, and we can talk to the staff about maybe lowering it a bit more gently next time.
Yeah, do all just drop the
red on the car. Mm. Mm. No, director's got that on board, and we've got your address, so that's fine. Any further general business? Okay, I declare the annual electors meeting closed at 8:13. Thank you very much for your attendance. I say we're now going to reconvene the ordinary council meeting.